It was a great week of just throwing our energy into the lives of children and really celebrating in big ways the profound message of the gospel for all of us and to plant seeds of hope and truth into our kids' lives. I mean, it's as Jesus said, remember the disciples? They're always concerned about what Jesus was doing and making sure that he was doing the most important things. And there was this one day all the children scurried around him and they're like getting annoyed. And and Jesus said, what are you doing? This is for them. For such belongs the kingdom of God. One of the greatest joys for me this week was just being one of the kids and getting my big water gun out and drenching every single one of them and just being able to spend time with them as we did our memory work, as we sang the songs, as we just hung out together, as we watched the drama team and Pastor John just teach about the gospel. It was a great, great opportunity. And it was through this week that we learned about two people, two characters. And the one character was Moses, and the other character, person, was Jesus Christ. And we spent a lot of time talking about those two people. And some of us might be familiar with those two people, particularly the kids now. But let me remind you about these two people, because their story is profound for each and every one of us. Both, you know, were quite similar. Both were Hebrews. They were part of a large group of people called the Israelites, some call them Jewish people. But their forefathers were Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. And the whole Bible is about this people group. And it's interesting because what God does with these people has implications for all of us. So it's neat really talking about these two people. Both of these people were also very well known, became very well known when their people were having a very tough time. Moses, for instance, was raised up in a time when the Egyptians were at their peak power and prestige, but the Hebrews were their slaves. And it was when they were having all this trouble, because, you know, Pharaoh, who was really quite afraid of this growing group of Israelites, said, you know what, we're going to make them work really hard, low pay, low benefits, and they'll build us our tombs and our roads and our castles that the way we want them, and we'll just work them till they can't work no more. And Moses rose up in the midst of that to deliver the Israelites. God used them. But Jesus, in the same way, when Israel was living in the land of Israel at that time, it was the Roman Empire that was in charge. And in the same way, they too were paying taxes to a foreigner who didn't really care about the God of Israel. And Jesus rose up in the midst of them. You can see that Moses and Jesus were quite alike, even though they lived 1,500 years apart from each other. Moses way, way back, Jesus 2,000 years ago. Both were very unique. In fact, Moses was both an Egyptian and a Hebrew, one of Israel. When Pharaoh was really, really getting nervous, remember this story, kids? Pharaoh was so worried that he thought the best way to deal with this growing group of people who were living in his land, he says, I'm gonna kill all the little boys. And it was the cunning of his parents and their trust in God that saved Moses in such a way that an Egyptian princess found little Moses floating in the Nile. And he was raised up in the midst of Egyptian nobility. He became a prince. But he was also Jewish, and God used that uniqueness. Jesus, too, is very unique. We celebrate this at Christmas. Jesus was both human, lived on earth, born on earth, but he was also the Son of God. He was sent from heaven. He was both heavenly and earthly, divine and human. And that uniqueness made him very special for you and I. He had a great capacity to deliver us, just as Moses had this great capacity as being both Egyptian and Jewish to save his people. They were also pretty cool. You know, remember Moses, when God was speaking to him, what did he give him? Remember, what did he give him that turned into a snake? What was that? It was that staff, and that staff, if you threw it on the ground, it became a snake. What did you do? How did it turn back into a staff? Do you remember? Trevor? By picking it up by his tail, right? Boom, and it turned into a staff. He did pretty cool things. There was one time when everybody was thirsty, and he took that staff and he hit the rock, and what happened? What happened when he hit the rock? What happened? Yeah. Water came out of the rock. I mean, he could do pretty cool things. It was almost like, and this is true, God had specially empowered Moses to do things that manifested who God was. The same thing happened with Jesus. There was a time when Jesus was teaching, and he was going way over his time limit because everybody was getting really, 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 really hungry. And they're all sitting on this mountain, over 5,000 people. And you could imagine how hungry they were getting. And finally, somebody said, "We've got to eat, but we have no food." Some kid came up with two fish and some loaves of bread. And well, what are you going to do with that? With 5,000 people? Even our commercial kitchen couldn't fix this problem. And Jesus said, "Well, just wait, everybody." They prayed, gave thanks. They put the stuff into some baskets, 12 baskets, and they started passing it around. And somehow 5,000 people got fed out of these 12 baskets. There was so much food that when the disciples gathered it all up, there were still 12 baskets of food. Amazing. Cool stuff happened. What was God saying? God was saying, "Look, I am powerful." And so we got into these people, Moses and Jesus, because there's something very, very important for us to hear. And that we call the ultimate points of the week. Every day we had an ultimate point. The kids, remember what the ultimate points were? Day one was ultimate what? What was it? Ultimate plan. It went something like this, right? Ultimate plan. What was the second day? Ultimate, what was that? What was the sign for that? Ultimate power. What was the third day? Ultimate rescue, did you say? I think I heard that. Ultimate rescue. What was that? Was that ultimate rescue? John kept on going, rescue. I didn't want to correct him, though. Then there was ultimate. So there was the ultimate plan, there was ultimate power, ultimate rescue, and then ultimate what? Ultimate trust. And then the last day was ultimate love. We talked about those five things. Let's just stop and just look at some of what this means for all of us. I mean, when we talked about the ultimate love, for God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish, but have eternal life. God has an ultimate plan. When God looks down upon us, He sees two things. He sees everything that He has created, you, me, your enemies, the trees, this whole world. And God loves it. He loves what He's created. But He sees another thing too. He sees that this world that He created is also a little bit broken down. Bad things happen in our world. Just like we learned from the drama, there was Dirty Daryl. And Dirty Daryl was a bully who made a lot of trouble in this little Western town. And it wasn't until a good sheriff came who chose to love that things began to change. And so it is for us. You could almost think of Jesus as a sheriff who came to our dusty, broken downtown and made things new. God has an ultimate plan, and he also has ultimate power. We learned this about Moses. God had called Moses to deliver his people from the power of Egypt. Well, Pharaoh didn't want Israel to go because he really liked his big new buildings for cheap labor. And so Moses goes and he says, "Let my people go." And what did Pharaoh say? "No. Let my people go." He did this 10 times. "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "No. No, 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 no." And after all the flies, frogs, and boils, there was this one last plague. It was a pretty serious plague. And Moses said to both his people, the Hebrews, and to all of Egypt, "An angel is coming. An angel is coming. And every person, firstborn person, will die." It's a pretty scary message. But he said, "But you can escape this. You can be delivered from this. What you need to do, Egyptians and Hebrews, is to sacrifice a lamb. And take the blood of the lamb, and you'll eat the lamb for dinner. You're going to take the blood of the lamb, and you're going to paint it on what? On the door frame, the frame of your door." Why would he do that? What was going on there? "Well," says Moses, "when the angel comes that evening, he'll visit your door. He'll just come by your door, and if he sees the blood on the doorpost, he will pass over your home." Pass over. "But to every door that did not have the blood of the lamb painted on it, the angel would visit and consume the life of the firstborn." And that morning, a lot of people woke up with joy or with sorrow. There's ultimate power, a power that can give life or take it away. In fact, when Jesus came to the world, how did he describe himself? As the Lamb of God. "If you believe in me, you will live." And so we talked about the ultimate rescue. Because when we look at our world, we see that our world has trouble. But Jesus says to us, "In this world you will have trouble, but what? But take heart, I have overcome the world." He can rescue you and me. He can save us from this world with its trouble and lead us into a whole new way of living in this world that has hope. And the implications for all of us, whether we're kids or whether we're adults, is that it transforms our hearts, our minds, and our souls. So there was ultimate plan, ultimate power, and ultimate rescue, and then the ultimate trust. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who comes to me will not grow hungry, and he who believes in me will not be thirsty." You know, the greatest power of God came, it was shown, was manifest when, as Jesus taught his stuff to his people, the sad thing happened where his own people didn't like what he was teaching, didn't like his way of life, and so they condemned him, they tried him, they put him on a cross, and Jesus died. Very young man. But 3 days later, something powerful happened. He was raised from the grave and became the Lamb of God for us. And when we talked about ultimate trust, when Jesus could say, "Even though there's trouble, take heart, I have overcome the world," it's because Jesus rose from the grave. And he says to you and to me, take heart. I have overcome the world. If I can overcome death, I can help you in every circumstance. So even when we're dealing with dirty Darryls, we can go to God. Put our trust in him. And finally, our last day, we talked about ultimate love. When the sheriff left this western town, everybody was saying, hey, what do we do now? And he said, trust in the book, the Bible. It shows you the way of life. Trust in Jesus Christ, who is in the Bible revealed to us through words. And by the Spirit of God, it comes alive in our imaginations, in our hearts, and we can respond to Jesus. But there's a new way of life. Love one another. This is the new command Jesus taught us. Not to hate, not to bully, not to take things for ourselves, but to love one another. And by this, said Jesus, as I have loved you, so love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Love one another. It was a great week as we sort of dwelt on this truth. Because, we need to be people who need to find a new way of life. One of the new hobbies I've enjoyed this last couple of years is stand-up paddleboarding. And Monica's a little bit concerned at times because, you get to go out in White Rock Beach and you paddle. We were out with the boys yesterday and beautiful, calm evening. And wasn't much to worry about, at least on my part. But got back to the beach, Monica was a little bit worried. She says, well, what if the kids fell in? Well, I'm really close by. Which is, what about a leash? You can leash them to the board so that when you fall, at least they won't lose the board. And really good point, Monica, and we'll get two more leashes. But I remember the one day I was out by myself with a friend that I had just met in White Rock. Because on a calm day, it's one thing. And this one day, the friend called me out and said, let's go. But the waves, it was a windy, blustery day. The waves were like 5 feet high. I would never have gone in by myself. But you don't say no to somebody who, you don't want to look sort of, I'm scared. So you go. And I had a leash. And off we went into the deep water, and we paddled against the wind, and we flipped our boards around to go with the wind and the waves, and it was the most spectacular thing. It was almost like surfing. But it was also quite dangerous because it was the first time I was on this board and we're paddling away. And there was this one time a wave just swept me out from the board, away from the board. And the board just went scooting out and in it. But I was leashed. I was leashed to the board. And so, boom, my leg was yanked and the board could come back. And instead of flailing in the water with the board away and me trying to swim through the cold ocean back to the beach, which I would have failed at, I was rescued. I was rescued by a leash. In the same way, that's really what we're talking about when we're thinking about VBS, is we do live in a world where if we're not leashed, put our trust in Jesus Christ, we will flail. And the cold waters of the ocean will swallow us up. And so really, this week was all about rejoicing in the fact that Jesus is our hope. So really, the call for all of us is, or the question is, who are you leashed to? Who are you tied to? Who are you putting your trust in? Because if you're out there all by yourself, my hunch is you'll flail. But if you're leashed to one who can keep you afloat and bring you back to shore, Jesus Christ, you will live life more fully and with more joy and with more courage. My hope for each and every one of us here today, for the kids that I was able to lead through this week, is to put your trust in Jesus Christ. We're going to eat a small little meal here. There's another big feast, or sort of a feast afterwards, coffee and I think some pastries, right, after the service. So hope you stay for that. But every Sunday we eat this meal here at this table, a little bit of bread and some grapefruit juice. Now, when Jesus was with his disciples, he shared this meal with them and reminded them that he was the Lamb of God for them, and that if they ate with him, received him, they'd be filled with hope and joy. I want to invite you to this table as a way of saying, my leash is with you, Jesus Christ. I want to be tied with you. If you have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, we invite you to this table. If you haven't, you want to think about this more and consider this more, I hope you'll talk to Pastor Jan or John or myself today, and we'd love to tell you more about this or connect you further. Children, we want you to participate too, and perhaps you're not ready for this table, but John, Jen, and I will be with each of the stations, which will be handing out the bread and the juice, and we have some jelly beans for you. But we want to bless you for what you've learned this week, and to pray that God's presence be with you through the rest of this summer, because we think seeds of truth have been deposited in your life, and the jelly beans will remind you of that. And so we invite you to this table. But first, let's pray. Because some of you today may just simply want to leash yourself up with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, we thank you for your amazing love towards us. We recognize that in your teaching and in your way of life, so profound, so beautiful, yet it was rejected by the world and you were crucified. And like the disciples, we wondered, is this really true stuff? Is this really powerful stuff? And you said yes when you rose from the grave. When you rose from the grave, it made all things that you taught in your way of life become real and transformative for our lives. And we want to leash ourselves to you, Jesus, the one who rose from the grave, who overcame the world. And though troubles assailed you, you overcame it. And by us leashing ourselves to you, we have hope. We experience the Father love of that you enjoyed, and we get to experience God's life in us through you. We thank you for that. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we pray this prayer, and there's some of you here that want to pray this leash prayer, that want to connect with the power of Jesus Christ, just simply pray this prayer. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want to be connected to you. Jesus, forgive me for doing life all by myself without you. Help me to do it with you. And save me from my trouble. In Jesus' name, I pray this prayer. If you could pray a prayer like this, then come to Jesus at this table, who loves you and will equip you to live your life in a new way. Amen. Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of all sins. Drink it in remembrance of me." If you have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, come. There will be three stations here. I ask those that are serving to come forward at this time. And John and I will serve you and prepare for you to come. And children, we would love you to come forward with your parents. And we would love to give you a blessing. John will be over there, myself here, and Jennifer over here. We'll put Jen in the middle. And I'll go to the sides and come. We would like to bless you. This was a great week of VBS. Jesus showed up as he is here with us today. So ushers, please come forward, those who are serving. Thank you.